Welcome to Medical Confessions,
your remedy for serious medicine. I'm Jen.
I'm April.
And I'm Scott. We've been covering a lot of things like pooping and farting. Today we're going to go the opposite approach, and we're going to talk about the mouth and oral care in general. We're going to talk about what fluorination to water does for you. We're also going to talk about oil pulling and what that does for your teeth.
I'm going to come alive during this episode because I'm much more comfortable with this stuff than that stuff, so this is more my mode. So Scott, what can you tell us about fluorination? Because I know we probably all came from different backgrounds. I was raised on a Alaskan well water, good old well water, and I don't know that my mom and dad even thought about fluoride. I don't even know if it was a question. April, you were raised
in Aberdeen, and we did have fluoride in the water.
Yeah, I grew up on city water. I don't know if they fluorinated the water or not. A lot of times I was on well water, but well water can also have quite a bit of fluoride in it.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just, you know, so the thought process, in the end of the day, there's a big controversy about should we be fluorinating water. Everybody probably knows, a quick online search will say that fluoride actually does help prevent tooth decay. It'll help, you know, prevent cavities. Everybody knows that. You go to the dentist, they put fluoride on your teeth. It sucks. You got to sit there with a little mouth guard while you're drooling, and they got the little sucker getting your saliva out of there.
I liked it. of course, my favorite part of the dentist.
Because it tasted like bubble gum?
Yeah.
You can pick I thought you meant having your mouth propped open. You never know.
Do you think that's a conscious thought process for dentists? Like, I want to spend my entire life sticking my hands in people's mouths.
Yeah, it doesn't interest me at all.
Because, you know, they're really working on people who need dentures and, you know, have tooth problems, who probably don't have good hygiene. So their mouths kind of are gross.
Well, same question about proctology. I mean, really, yeah. Like, who goes into the field?
I want to anally probe someone for a living, you know.
So mainly for dental health then, right? Fluoride?
Fluoride, yeah. So you do want fluoride. So let's just back up and start how it got started. You know, in the early 1900s, somewhere around the turn of the century, in Colorado Springs, there was a dentist who noticed all of his patients had brown teeth. He didn't really know why, but he did know that all of those people with brown teeth had not a lot of tooth decay. They didn't have a lot of cavities, and whatever was making their teeth brown was also giving them some protection against the cavities. Didn't really know why. He teamed up with another doctor. It wasn't until the 1930s that they discovered it was actually fluoride that was causing the brown teeth, and that the fluoride also helped with preventing tooth decay.
Interesting. So back to your answering my question.
All right, so yeah, there is a controversy out there about if we should fluorinate the water. What fluoride does for you, it's an electronegative element. It's the most electronegative element, which means it wants to attract electrons. You know, the joke is like an alcoholic wants booze. It just really wants electrons, so it'll pretty much steal them from anything around. Inside the body, it naturally just attracts calcium. So in the body, it's more, it really affects calcified tissues like your teeth and your bones. Where do we want to start off? There's so much to it.
Like what the health benefits are? Or so I guess a good question is, what about bottled water? So when we drink straight out of the tap, you may or may not, based upon your area and stuff, but what is the kind of the go-to on bottled water when you purchase that? Is it fluoride? Is there fluoride present?
I don't think there is.
No?
I don't know. It's a good question. Probably depends on the manufacturer.
Yeah. I know there's certain brands, too, that will, you know, they've got this or this added to it. And I never pay attention. You kind of have your ones that you prefer. I'm one of those sad people that chooses bottled water based on the bottle. one we had with the diamond on top. I was like, sweet, I'll pay $4 extra for that. So I don't pay attention, but I'm just curious. Is that something as an adult we should be paying attention to?
Oh, you should be paying attention to how much fluoride you're taking in. There's really not a lot of bad benefits to fluoride. If you're just eating, I mean, fluoride's everywhere. It's in all the waters. It's even in well water. It's in all the foods you drink. Wine has like 0.2 milligrams of fluoride in it for every serving.
I can do that.
You know, different foods have different amounts. Brewed teas have like 0.3 milligrams of fluoride in them. So it's all around. You can take in a lot of it. There's not a lot of negative things that can happen. You can look online and there's lots of things that says excessive fluoride will, you know, decrease your IQ. It'll have problems with increase your risk of cancer. But all of those are kind of debunked pretty easily. So all those claims aren't really true. The only ones that are true about excessive fluoride is it can cause enamel fluorosis, which is the discoloring of your enamel on your teeth. It can make them brown. It'll make white streaks initially, and then they'll turn into just super white. So if you've ever seen somebody with those white streaks in their teeth, they've probably had too much fluoride. But that's not really doing anything other than aesthetically, you know, you might get a little psychological damage because your teeth suck. But, you know, functionally, they're still going to chew. They're not going to be, you know, less prone to any problems.
So there's not really a lot of negatives that's going to happen here.
There's not. I mean, you've got to drink a lot of fluoride. I mean, you can get something also called skeletal fluorosis. So like we were talking about, fluoride in the body attracts calcium mainly. So if you take in too much, it's going to attract a lot of calcium, and you can get skeletal fluorosis. And basically, you get increased bone mass, you can get some muscle wasting things, and you get a lot of painful joints, probably because your bone mass is more than what other people have, so it's painful to move around. So if you're one of those that said, oh, I'm worried about how much fluoride I'm getting because I'm worried about skeletal fluorosis, you actually have to drink quite a bit. The recommended amount of fluorine is about 1 milligram per liter. There was a guy who drank 50 milligrams a day for 6 years, and he only had some minor pain. So you really do have to take a lot of fluoride in before it can cause that skeletal fluorosis. And of that, there have been 5 confirmed cases of debilitating skeletal fluorosis in 35 years. So there's not, I mean, it's really rare. Mad cow disease is more prevalent, and that's not very prevalent, you know.
Right.
There's really not a lot of bad things can happen with excessive fluoride. Lots of people online will claim lots of things, but there's never been any studies.
Are there tests that you can, you know, like those little water test strips that you use for your pool? Like, could you do that for your tap water to see how much?
You can. There's actually most cities and municipalities have a lab that you can get your well water tested to make sure there's not bacteria in there. They'll test fluoride levels if you want them to. Where we're from, the lab is Generac. It's right there in the mall where the old bank used to be.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
That's the lab that does it for our area. It doesn't cost very much. It's like $25, and they'll test your water.
So there's not a lot of negative health benefits from taking in a lot of fluoride. Would you say that a lot of the negative health benefits from not taking enough fluoride then would be done in adolescence?
Well, and so that's where the controversy goes in. Everybody knows fluoride is going to help, you know, prevent cavities, but it's how it helps prevent cavities. You know, over time, which was the reasoning why we decided to put it in our water. To back up kind of what it's doing is normally when you get cavities, all the cracks and crevices of your teeth get bacteria in them. Those bacteria then eat sugars that you take in, whether it's carbs or simple sugars. When they consume those sugars, they produce acids. The enamel on the front of your teeth, if you get an acid above like or below a pH of like 5.5, it'll eat away at that acid or eat away at that enamel, and then that'll slowly eat away at your teeth, and then you get a cavity. That process takes quite a few years. So if you just have good hygiene, you're going to be able to brush off all that bacteria and, you know, get all those simple sugars out of there for the bacteria not to eat, and then it won't eat away at your enamel. So, you know, maybe brush your teeth 3 times a day and do what your dentist says, and you'll be fine. So that enamel is actually called carbonated hydroxapate or hydroxapatite. And when you add fluoride to that, it creates a film called fluorinated hydroxapatite. And what that does is it doesn't allow the bacteria that's there to eat away at the sugars. And so then you don't get the enamel erosion like you would normally get. But again, that happens over a long period of time. Fluoride's not curing a cavity. It's just helping prevent it. So you do need to take the fluoride in consistently in low doses to get that long-term effect. So the powers that be back in 1945 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, was the first city to do it. And they felt like, well, if you add, you know, fluoride in about 1 milligram per liter, and people slowly drink the water over the course of the day, over time, they'll have reduction in their tooth decay, which, and it's very proven, it does work. The controversy comes in, or why are we still doing it? Because, you know, all of the studies back then, there wasn't fluoride in toothpaste. There wasn't fluoride drops that dentists give people now. Mm. There wasn't all the other ways we take in fluoride. So that was a great way to give it to the population, so to speak.
Right.
And the, you know, first off, you got to start back with, should we be doing it to begin with? You know, what is the cost of something like that? Well, a cavity itself is going to cost you about $2,100 over the course of your lifetime to fix. If you don't fix it and you need, you know, a tooth replacement or something like that, it's going to cost even more. Average adult has three to four missing teeth or cavities in their teeth, and about 15 teeth that have enamel that's worn away. So it gets pretty expensive for people if they don't, you know, if you have a lot of cavities and you don't have good hygiene. It's expensive for the insurance companies and things like that. Adding fluoride to water only costs about 50 cents a year per person in urban areas, and only about $1 a year in the rural areas. So it's a pretty inexpensive way to prevent cavities.
Well, if you look at just American culture, hygiene, you know, good dental, you know, care, it probably is cost effective for most Americans, not to mention our diet. I heard you mention sugars and having those sugars, you know, in crevices of your teeth and stuff. And if you look at our diets, it's high in carbohydrates, high in sugars. And so it just makes sense that we probably have, you know, all the makings for.
And that's why dentists also really push the sealants to seal up those deep crevices.
Yeah, keep the bacteria. It makes sense. Well, and just look at healthcare in the country, you know. I mean, we don't have universal healthcare. What's the best way to prevent cavities in the population? Put fluoride in the water. It makes sense. Made sense back then, and it works.
And I'm sure there's a genetic aspect to this, and by that I mean it just seems like, you know, my husband's hygiene, I don't feel any better than mine. He has no cavities, perfectly white, great teeth, and I've had just poor dental. I got, like, the horrible poker hand of genetics when it comes to dental and underbite, bad root systems, cavities, and I don't feel like I've done anything differently. So I don't know how much the fluoride really plays part and if it can really counteract genetics in general.
Did he have fluoride growing up?
You know, I don't know. He kind of grew up in the same area that we all are, you know.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, there's got to be something to that anyway, because, I mean, not to pick on the British, but they're just known for having bad teeth. You know, so maybe got a little European in you.
Yeah, well, for me, well, no.
You don't look European.
You don't look European.
You don't look British.
I don't think so. But my mom and my dad has great teeth, and my mom has not great teeth. And I kind of, my brothers.
Where are they from?
My dad's from Mexico. And, you know, my mom's, I think, got a lot of German, Scottish, stuff like that. My husband's almost completely
Scottish. Scottish makes sense.
Yeah, my husband's almost completely German. But I feel like we're far enough removed on my mom's side that who knows, you know. You know.
You got your teeth from your mom.
Yeah, definitely.
What did your dad give you? Skin color, I guess.
Yeah, skin color.
I'm trying to make a joke there, but I can't. I was trying to tease you, but I couldn't come up with anything.
Without sounding racial. And
I know. I keep it somewhat politically correct. So yeah, adding fluoride to the water does make sense. It does help prevent tooth decay, will help prevent cavities. And in our age of we don't have universal health care yet, we'll keep politics aside, but we don't. And so it is actually a really cheap way to prevent cavities. The problem and the controversy comes in is, do we still need to be doing it? And the answer is probably not. There was a Cochrane review done in 2014, and why are you laughing?
You said a word that made us giggle. Carry on.
I said Cochrane review? And you say men have bad senses of humor. Goodness.
They haven't spent a day with people. Carry on. Sorry.
So about those Cochrane reviews, you know, there are actually pretty, those are pretty, you know, good studies and reviews to look at when it comes to things that are controversial, because they don't look at any one study. They look at the whole body of evidence. And all you're thinking about are the bodies.
Leave it to us. We shouldn't have made eye contact. That's where we went wrong.
Like, don't look at me.
Yeah. Oh, now all I can think about is male genitalia.
Cochrane review. Welcome to our world.
Cochrane review. Anyway, so they are really good reviews to look at because they are pretty objective. They take some objective scientists who look at the entire body of evidence and say, is what we're doing beneficial? And what they found in 2014 was, sure, most of the studies that all of the municipalities that put fluorinated water or add fluoride to their water, they all are pre-1975, before there was a lot of fluoride in toothpaste and fluoride drops you get from the dentist.
So, Scott, my question is, you know, I was given this just, you know, horrible hand of poker genetically when it comes to dental health. You know, I've got my dental health, I think, from my mom's side, and underbite, you know, all kinds of cavities growing up, bad tooth enamel, and even a really bad root system in my teeth. So,
how often did you see the dentist growing up?
All the time. Like, our family dentist was awesome, you know, and the funny thing is that my parents
knew
even
you by name.
He's retired. Is that what you
want? But at the time, he knew you by name.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He treated all of his kids. And I remember him even telling my mom when I was young, you know, we need to break her jaw, realign it. And of course, they didn't. And he said, bad alignment of the jaw is going to cause for grinding and poor root health and all this stuff. But my parents, you know, love you, Mom and Dad. Thanks.
So it's probably not a bad idea that your dentist knows your first name. But if your proctologist knows your first name,
that's a bad thing.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a conflict of interest, I think. So as an adult now, I'm trying to play catch up. Like, how do I prevent and do all that? And so I'm, you know, like I said earlier with my husband, I feel like we match, you know, equally with, you know, hygiene and all that kind of stuff and the foods we eat. He still has no cavities. He's great white teeth and all that stuff. One of the things that I was, you know, gotta love Pinterest, but the oil pulling and the dental benefits.
So or locker dome for the fellas.
That's right. There you go. I
don't want to admit I look at Pinterest.
Yes. I'm sure you don't have that on your phone.
What else am I going to do with my palettes unless you go on Pinterest and figure it out, right?
Your massive pile of palettes.
I had a friend who I went over to his house and he had a palette hanging on his wall. I'm like, what is that? And he's like, my wife thought it was art. Oh. And she painted a palette. And it was, like, fancy colors, yeah. But it was still a palette
hanging
on
the wall.
Wall.
The wonders of Pinterest and their palettes.
Love Pinterest.
But I found this article, and there was a bunch of different links and stuff. And so it was on oil pulling. And at the time, and even currently, coconut oil is this, you know, well-known miracle oil that can do everything. But the process of oil pulling indicated that it was good for your teeth and your gums and, you know, maybe overall health. Also, some indicators that maybe some of these oils were good at also stopping bacteria such as strep. So I did it. I did it consistently for over a month, and the process wasn't simple, but I feel like it worked okay for me, kind of like a multivitamin. I just initiated it. I think it
was. What did you do?
15 to 20 minutes every morning. I would swish this oil just like you would mouthwash. I typically did it when I was getting dressed in the morning, taking a shower. So it wasn't really an inconvenience. But
were you in the shower just
swishing
the whole time?
Yeah. I was tempted to make April do it here so we could kind of.
I'll try it.
You should try it. Okay. So I've got four different oils that I brought in, and I know these aren't maybe what everyone recommends, but I've got grapeseed, I've got a sweet almond oil. Coconut oil is what I used. Castor oil is another one. I know a lot of people believe in sesame.
Yeah, sesame oil does have some effect, antibacterial effect.
And I don't have sesame oil here. And these are all carrier oils. I know you can get fancy and do essential oils, and I'm sure like with a spearmint or something like that, it may be more palatable. I did try sesame. I didn't like the flavor. It was more of like a brown kind of. Didn't love it, but I didn't mind the coconut oil.
So the process is you stick it in your mouth, swish it around for 10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then spit it out?
And spit it out. And apparently it's kind of the same idea as using a mouthwash. It helps pull the bacteria and stuff from inside your gums and your teeth. I don't
How
know.
Much?
Just a mouthful. whatever you can handle, April. That's probably plenty there.
Is this our way of shutting April up for 10 to 20 minutes?
I'm kind of sad because there's probably
going to be... She's not going to talk.
Yeah, she's not going to talk.
If you laugh and it comes out your nose, I'm going to be really excited.
Do you need more? Mm-hmm. She needs more. So April's
swooshing around the oil.
She's
Does it taste bad?
It's coconut oil. Coconut oil is good. And I've also done it in the more solid form. You just take a little scoop of it, and it melts almost immediately once it gets body temperature.
All I can hear is the swooshing.
I also
wonder... I
don't
know if you guys can hear it, but it's loud.
His squishy
like someone candy. Chewing chips in the background.
Keep that cup closed.
Not out your nose.
It. I wonder, too, if there's not some side effects of doing it for several minutes. If it, you know.
Hurts the jaws?
Yeah. So, but what my question, though, is that I felt like after a full month, my teeth felt cleaner. My gums felt good. I would assume that part of it is just that movement, the flushing in and out of your teeth. And with the oil, it felt a little more forceful than just water. You know, you felt like you were purposely moving back and forth. Was it kind of just a psychosomatic type of a thing? Was there really any health benefits? Or
well, there is. The problem being that there's also much better, easier ways to do the exact same thing. So oil pulling, you know, you're right. I think you start swishing around anything, you're going to loosen up bacteria in your, you know, in between the small crevices of your teeth. The oil is going to lubricate your gums. So if you've got dry mouth, that'll probably help. Specifically, there is just swooshing over there.
I'm just so glad we don't have lapel mics right now.
If you would like us to get lapel mics, we would love for someone to get us some. But we're poor, and we have boom mics. Sorry. But no, there is some studies that are showing different oils actually do have antimicrobial or antibacterial effects. And so it really depends on which type of oil you're doing. Like corn oil, palm oil, soybean oil, those ones don't do anything for antimicrobial. So really the only benefit you're getting is swooshing something around,
the
lubrication, that sort of thing. But otherwise, like coconut oil.
certain words, triggers for April.
The swishing, Cochrane reviews. there it is.
So what happens if April swallows the oil?
Well, that you probably shouldn't do that. I mean, obviously, you know, oils in general are pretty high in fats, and the more fats you get, higher cholesterol, those are all bad things. And you probably, you know, some people will puke too much of it, I would imagine.
But doesn't that counteract if you're swishing around all those bacteria and then you just swallow it? Isn't that kind of the opposite of what you're looking for?
Well, not necessarily, because it depends on the pH level of your stomach, and if those bacteria can survive in those high pH environments, I wouldn't think they would. Mm. There are some bacteria that can, like in Yellowstone, there's a bunch that can handle those low pHs for, you know, in those pools, but I wouldn't think many can propagate in your stomach, especially the fungus. But the studies that looked at specific oils and their antimicrobial effects, some of the oils they tested were coconut oil, sesame oil, sunflower oil, and different ones obviously had different effects on different types of bacteria. So the coconut oil you mentioned, Streptococcus mutans is one of the type of bacteria. So when you said that the coconut oil helps prevent strep throat, I could probably see that, because if it's got an antimicrobial effect to strep, then there's not going to be excessive amounts of strep to go ahead and start propagating in your throat.
But is that something that once you think you've
a little placebo effect?
Yeah. Well, no, but I'm also wondering, is that something that you are just, if you are highly likely to get strep, if you're someone that gets it several times a year, would this help lessen that chance? Or is it one of those things where the rest of your family has it and now you're trying to... Is it an immediate effect? So,
well, the strep throat itself depends on how you get it. I mean, if you're just coughing all over your family, well, then of course you're probably going to pass it on. But, you know, just standard hygiene, you know, cover your mouth when you cough, do all those things is
going
to be
the best way
to prevent. Yeah. How is that doing? Because I don't think we're at 10 minutes yet. So let's talk about that. I mean, I said that, you know, it does help, and it does, because, you know, coconut oil will, you know, be anti, other than the Streptococcus mutans, there's C. albicans it helps with. Sesame seed oil actually only helps with the stress of the strep mutans. So sesame seed oil is probably not as good as coconut oil. Sunflower oil doesn't do anything for bacteria, but it does help prevent fungus. So, you know, depending on the type of oil. But again, you got to swish it around for 10 to 20 minutes. And you can get the exact same thing by just brushing your teeth for 4 minutes. So, which is going to be better, you know?
Right.
Depends on what you want to do. I guess if you're in Africa and you've got oils and you don't have toothpaste or a toothbrush, maybe that'll work. and it would be better. But if you have toothbrush and a toothpaste, I feel like 4 minutes is better than 10 to 20, and I don't have to listen to April swishing the whole time.
Well, that's disappointing, because I was hoping that there was something additional that Wales provided aside from your normal brushing routine. You know, it's just that hope. I mean, they even, you know, recommend these oils be used for cleansing and different, prevention of acnes and things like that. So I was hoping there was something similar that it provided for dental health.
I don't know about acne if you're going to lather yourself in oil.
No, it really is. It's a thing. Well, like they talk about, especially oily skin, which I have.
Acne, it is the bacteria that are kind of clogging your pores, and then, so I could
see
if you're
talking about good oils, then preventing your body from creating its own oils to try to, so the sensitives, they were saying it's kind of the opposite of what you would think. You would add oil to your
If it's killing the bacteria, then it makes sense because you're killing the bacteria that's there. But at the same time, a little soap and water feels like that would do the same thing, because really one of the reasons why they say that oil might actually help with the bacteria, nobody really knows, but what they say is they call it alkali hydrolysis, but basically the bicarbonates that are in your saliva, so bicarbonates, very basic, it'll turn the oils into soap. There are lakes around, there's a lake in Washington called
Soap Lake.
I don't know about Soap Lake. But Crescent Lake okay. has a lot of lye in it,
yeah.
And so there's actually been dead bodies in the lake that come up, and they're just basically soap because that lye has turned them into soap, and that's kind of what's happening. It's kind of gross. There was a story of a couple who lost, their car got lost, they left a party, never made it home, no one ever found them, and then a couple years later they found their bodies at the bottom of the lake, and the lady was just soap. Kind of gross.
But not the man?
I don't know. They only mentioned the lady, I guess. Maybe the guy was just, somebody used him to wash off in the lake. I'm not sure. In either case, the same thing's happening here. The bicarbonates in your saliva acting on the oils, and it's basically turning to soap in your mouth, and you swish it around for 20 minutes, and it's going to help kill the bacteria. And that's kind of the theory on why it has its antimicrobial properties, which then... if that's the case, if you're rubbing it on your face, are you making soap? I don't know.
Well, and I think the thought is not just the antimicrobial, and I haven't researched it well. Of course, I just went to Pinterest and believed what was on there. But it was talking about how people who have oily skin, and so using soap and water dries out your skin. Therefore, just like your hair, too much cleansing, your body creates more oils, you have more clogged pores, blah, blah, blah. So maybe the introduction of good antimicrobial oils is what they're recommending.
I wonder if that's what's in the Pantene 3-Minute Miracle, because that's my shampoo of choice, because otherwise I'm like the fro man.
Yeah.
And you use that stuff and I have lovely locks. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure it is, because there's a lot of hair products that tout, a little bit of oils and I forget which ones
they tout it as a 3-Minute Miracle.
Yeah.
And it is. It's 3 minutes of awesome. I guess if I'm in the shower, I could put the oil in my mouth.
Yeah.
But I need to go 10 to 20 minutes.
Well, should we check in with our number one?
It's got to have been like 10 minutes by now.
Swisher?
Mm-hmm.
All right, spit it out. Oh.
It does look like soap compared to what it was.
That looks pretty disgusting, actually.
It does look soapy.
That's a lot of bacteria you just spit out. It's foamy and gross.
Yeah. So you did make it into soap. That's exciting.
Well, how does it feel?
I think my mouth's just tired. My jaw.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Brushing teeth might be better.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, isn't it? But I think if you're doing it while you're doing other things, if you're showering and doing your hair and...
Yeah.
I have to say that looks really nasty.
It does.
If you look at... Which one did you use? The coconut oil? It went in looking like this. I wish we would have put that in a clear glass.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nastiness in there, April.
It does look like soap, though, comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What did you eat? Good Lord.
I just had coffee.
It's interesting. It would actually be really interesting to examine and break down the after from the before. So the oil before and after to see the difference and to find out what actually is present there. Just the bacteria from her mouth, I guess. But
well, that and the soap. Yeah. It's all there.
You're really focusing on the soap aspect.
Because I think it's chemistry in action. It's awesome. It's like, you know, when you're in grade school and you put the, you know, baking soda and vinegar. It's awesome.
You're going to come back next week and you're going to now be like an oil cleanser. You're going to be washing your face with oil because...
Lather myself in oil.
Jen was right.
Looking all shiny, spitting out oil.
Well, white as ever. You have a great smile to begin with, so maybe you weren't the right one to do this, but they look nice and clean and shiny and white. Yeah.
So dental care in general. We need fluoride and... Oils can work, but I feel like brushing teeth works too. And it sounds like, you know, it's probably less of a hassle on your jaw.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a good thing. I've got some chipmunk cheeks. Maybe that would help eliminate the chipmunk
strengthen, give you a more solid jaw.
Yeah, squared off.
I could definitely use a more pronounced, virile jaw, I think. Because mine's not awesome.
So I guess our lessons from today are...
You do need fluoride. The question remains, and the controversy is true, are we getting too much fluoride now, and do we still need to add the fluoride to the water, because, you know, back in 1945 it made sense, but now it maybe not. I guess it's up to the water companies who are the ones paying to put the fluoride in and passing that on to the consumer, I would imagine. But again, it's not that much, 50 cents to a dollar a year, you know, who cares? I suppose if you only had a dollar, you would care, but... you probably wouldn't have a toothbrush and toothpaste, so then maybe the fluoride would help. But at the end of the day, fluoride's good. Are we getting too much? No one knows. And oils can help, get rid of the bacteria in your teeth, and swishing anything around helps. Making soap out of the oils helps, but it does the same thing as brushing your teeth. So I guess you get to choose if you want to do that. If you're in the shower, I guess, for 10 minutes.
Right.
And you don't like to brush your teeth in the shower. Although my daughter says she brushes her teeth in the shower.
I do.
I've never done that.
I do, and it grosses my husband out. He thinks it's weird.
It's like people who pee in the shower. Like, why?
I might do that also. You do. The shower is like my one-stop shop. Yeah. When you're a mom, it's just you do everything in the shower.
Gotta be efficient.
Shave, piss, brush your teeth all at once.
So maybe I'm just focusing on the logistics then, but I mean, do you stand with your feet spread? I mean, do you use one of those sheepies and, you know, aim where you're going to go?
Clean the glass while you're at it.
Well, based on my experience with the oil pulling, I think I'm going to save mouth exercises for other activities and stick with brushing.
Great. Good.
Jess will be happy about that.
If you like what you heard today, please check out our podcast, check out our YouTube channel, or our website, medicalconfessions.com.